Welcome back. Hey, welcome to Texas, Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, today's date is August 14th, 2022. And speaking of welcome to Texas, I'd like to say hello to Kyle Rittenhouse out there. I heard he's kind of visiting Texas right now. He's causing quite a stink, right? I've talked enough smack about Kyle Rittenhouse. I do support what he did, sort of. You know, but what he did was what he did, and he defended himself, right? Now, why he was there, was that the right thing to do? That's his thing to wrestle with. I'm not going to wrestle with that anymore. We talked about that enough during the trial, and, well, the riots of the riots of 2020, all those wacko lunatics out there. He showed up in Texas today. Well, no, 2 days ago, right? And the cop stopped him. It's pretty damn funny. Cop stopped him and goes, "Hey, you're Kyle. Can I get a picture?" Posted it to the Facebook page of his police department. And they said, whatever. And then the wacko lefties, whatever, the people that don't understand what happened there say, "Well, why? No, he's a murderer." Well, no, not a murderer, right? He was defending himself. And that was kind of tricky, right? And, of course, they will never listen to the facts. Folks like you out there listening to Republic Broadcasting, you've listened to the facts. You probably even read some of the facts and know the story of Kyle Rittenhouse, right? And what happened that faithful day? How do you determine faithful or faithless? I don't know. I do know the incidents that led up to them. Damn, I can't believe how much I watched on that. You know, the full live stream that goes through and covers the entire time that he was out there. You know, it covered him scrubbing paint off the walls, right? Helping people that have gotten, well, hurt, fighting the cops, you know. I mean, God, man. And then the wackos that tried to kill him, and they call it murder. It was not murder. It was defense, and he was being attacked. But now he's in Texas. You know, there's been talk about him going to UT Austin. That's University of Texas. For all y'all that aren't from Texas, they have all these things, right? They're like, "Baylor." It's kind of funny. You know, they go, "Baylor."
Steve, kind of mm-hmm. on this note, you know, you're talking about Baylor. Basically taking care of your own self-defense, your self-protection, you know. Folks, you've been hearing me talk for the last 2.5 months or so about, you know, Little Reset, my little baby white-tailed deer. Well, mm-hmm. Little Reset's no longer around. She's been gone for like a week and a half now. So I know something out there got her. You know, I don't know. It could have been a herd of armadillos because, folks, we're in the middle of a drought. And let me tell you what happens when there's a serious food shortage. I might have said this before not long ago. I walked out, like 10 steps outside my front door was a pile of pig crap, you know. And animals are starting to – and I've heard coyotes, like, you know, 200 yards down from my place down here, you know, just down there, you know, doing their yip and yowl and raising hell. They're doing things that they normally wouldn't come close to because they're freaking nuts. We've had like 2 inches of rain this whole year on my area right here. So, I mean, there's no grubs. There's no hardly any grasshoppers. There's very few birds. Haven't seen rabbits. Not even having mice problems anymore because there's no grain or seeds for anything for the mice to even stay alive, you know. And, you know, so anymore, I don't even want, you know, if I walk outside my door and, you know, I live out in the country, if I go out, you know, to take a leak, I very seldom walk out the door without at least a .38 strapped to my hip because a big pig that's hungry with like 6-inch tucks on it can take you down and kill your ass and eat you, you know, and they will do that if they are hungry enough. And just let me tell you what, folks, simply because, you know, we consider people the most civilized thing. You know, we would never resort to cannibalism or, you know, these getting going completely twisted off what your normal routine because you're used to being able to go to the grocery store and get whatever you want. People, let me tell you, when it gets to a very dire situation, you know, we are animals, whether you like to believe that or not. And when it becomes very dire, people will do things that they would not normally ordinarily do, and they will completely change personalities to survive, just like the animals out here. You know, it's very tough to keep anything alive out here. My chickens are gone. You know, my little baby deer now, I don't know if the coyotes or a pig or whatever, you know, caught her and ate her. But they are doing things that they normally would not do because of this very stressful situation.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry to sound so dire, but that's just the truth of nature, people.
Well, it is the truth of nature. I mean, okay, so before we go to phone calls, by the way, if you want to call in, it's 512-248-8252. Got a couple people holding on the line. Can't wait to get to them. But yeah, man, it's a dire place that we're at. This one gentleman, well, I don't know if he's a gentleman. What do we call a gentleman, right? Somebody that gets upset at the IRS, right? Is he a gentleman? No, he's definitely not a gentleman if he went in and tried to attack the IRS. Going, what? He did what? Oh, yeah, that's right. That was all covered in the news last week. He had attacked the IRS, I believe it's Atlanta or something like that, a fortified building, and, you know, he's been attacking them for a while and upsetting them for some damn thing. But it's kind of crazy, right? So he was pushed over the hill by the Trump problems, right? Okay, you know, FBI's been, I'm sorry, he attacked the FBI office. It wasn't the IRS office, right? You know, I can't remember the last time somebody went after the IRS. But this is happening more often is kind of what I'm kind of pointing my finger to. And they will not talk about it. It's like Keith Rogers said, the gilets jaunes, the yellow vests. They will not show you in the United States that this is happening. Republic Broadcasting will let you know about it. You know, during the time of the gilets jaunes, you know, when the French yellow vests were taking over France, right? We talked about that. I don't know. But anyways, with those 84,000 IRS people, right? What does that mean? You know, one of the local talking heads over in San Antonio was saying that the football stadium or whatever that they've got over there in San Antonio wouldn't even fit all the new hires for the IRS. I'm like, okay, there you go. You guys all go shoot Americans, right? Your job is to shoot Americans.
It's hard to think about how many people that actually is, but yeah, good analogy, Steve. You know, any of you who've ever been to, a big college football game or a major league, you know, football game or something, you know, there's, you know, what, maybe 50, 60,000 people in those stadiums, and it's just packed full, and there's just freaking people everywhere. You know, if you've ever been in those situations where there's just a tight concentration of people, you realize how many people that actually is.
Okay. I'm not going to keep these guys waiting too long. This is a good one. This is good old Mark in Philly. Hello, Mr. Mark. How are you today?
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yep,
sound
we got
good
you.
To me.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you back, Steve.
Thank you.
First off, I want to say that I'm here in Center City, Philadelphia. I'm actually in Independence Mall area, you know, right, just a few feet away from Libertyville. And I wanted to ask you guys. I'm sure Alan knows this. Alan, how old is Fredericksburg? Is it older than Austin, the capital?
It was incorporated in 1836.
When about did Austin come?
I'm not exactly sure, but I can tell you, because I've still got a sticker on the back of my pickup truck window, 1836, a few years ago when they celebrated the 175th anniversary of the town.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to, by the way, Alan, I know you don't like this new technology stuff, and I don't either to a point, but it can be effective in clear communication, and there's been times like, oh, I got to send this to Alan. And I go, wait a minute. Alan can't receive it because he doesn't have a he doesn't have electronics. So then I might have to call you, but then, you know, I don't want to take you away from your focus of what you need to do there. But anyway, there's I don't know if you guys are listening to this guy Giuseppe and Dave Scorpio. He's,
On the Speak Free Radio.
I don't know if you can get that, Alan. Can you get that?
Oh no. No, those guys are an RBN now, and I listen to their show on Sunday night. Yeah,
on Sunday night. But they're on the other on the new radio network that was started by a guy named English, Paul English, who's from England, I guess. And he started that in April, and it's a really good platform because they went away from Revolution because Revolution Radio got infiltrated. So, but yeah, Scorpio's on and on Sunday night before Robert Ravel. But there's really some good conversation, discussion, and interrogation of the truth through their shows. And anyway, I just wanted to share that with you that there just yesterday also I got information about a flight doctor who works in the Department of Defense. It's a female. A lieutenant colonel who actually became kind of like a whistleblower in the Department of Defense as an active duty concerning primarily the flight, you know, the flight crews, because this vaccine stuff is threatening their ability to fly reliably and responsibly, you know, because, by the way, if you were to fly, and I have flown, but not in a military aircraft. I mean, the body has to withstand multiple G's of force when they take a sharp turn, you know? And so your body has to be in excellent shape. So she brought forth to the awareness, the social awareness about what's going on in the military. And there have been many military lower levels who are in charge of the troops who have appreciated her speaking up because they themselves are afraid to speak up. But she's at a higher level and a broader level. So anyway, that just came up. That was on Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog. I don't know if you've heard of this guy.
Yeah, you know, Mark, you know, Mark, on that point real quick, you know, do you think it would be dangerous if, you know, there was military planes flying over, you know, doing like resupply missions that are full of, like, you know, Hellfire missiles and artillery shells and C4s and Claymores and everything, and the pilot passes out in a C5 Galaxy full of, you know, 100 tons of material crashes into your local town? Do you think there might be a problem? Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. She was on Greg Henner's, he's got a show, he's got a website, USA Watchdog. .com, I think it is. Anyway, and he's living in North Carolina, but he's originally a Missourian, and he used to work for CNN, and he's really sharp. And he stopped, but he stopped working for CNN because he would not do the Mockingbird, you know what I'm saying? He wouldn't just repeat what didn't make any sense. So he's digging deeper, and I very much appreciate it. She was on his program Friday, I think it was. So, she brought some other key details to the forefront because she had actually studied epidemiology. She also worked at Fort Detrick. Get that, Alan and Steve. Fort Detrick is the, you know, that's where they study about bioweapons, right? She knows about bioweapons. And I don't know about you guys, but when this stuff first started, I said, I smell a rat, and they're turning this whole thing into a bioweapon. That's what I mean. I said that early on, like in 2020, like in April, I was saying that. And I was telling my fellow veterans, I said, I think this is a bioweapon move. And so now she's speaking up to that it's a bioweapon. And it's trying to destroy our force from within, our forces of protection. So anyway.
And maybe,
you know,
maybe
Mark, bioweapon. Kind of on that note, you know, I'll agree, you know, it might have been a slightly altered bioweapon, But, you know, the real killing part of it came from the remdesivir and not allowing access to ivermectin and hydrochloroquine and various other things that would knock it out rather readily. You know, from everything that I've studied and my own little experience with whatever it might have been that I caught, I took ivermectin, wham, bam, gone almost instantly. What it is, my friend, it's a bioweapon of the mind more than anything.
So, you know, the what they so-called vaccines, right? You know, if you read some of the more alarmist new media type stuff, they're telling you that all those poor bastards that took the injection are pretty much screwed right now, and they're all going to be dropping dead. You know, it's fascinating to see all those cars in California just go at 100 miles an hour, right, flaming through an intersection, right? And so that was, of course, a nurse from, Houston that went flame on through an intersection and killed like 8 people and injured 12 more or something like that. We got some crazy actor that allegedly she was high on cocaine, fentanyl, maybe vodka. I mean, they need that. You can't even straighten that out, right? But are there going to be more people? And that goes back to what you were saying, Mark. You know, do you feel safe with injected pilots flying around up above? How deadly is each one of those different vaccines? You know, I truly do go with that thing. Maybe the bioweapon was the vaccine, right? Maybe Alan just said maybe there was a minor, you know, thingy that they put out there. The fear was the big one, right? The echo chamber of all the media sites back in 2020 and in March, April, they're like saying the same damn thing all over the United States and all over the planet. And we're looking at it. We, RBN, we're looking at it and going, holy crap, look what they're doing. You know, I don't know, but now people are dying.
Well, here's another one that this lieutenant colonel brought forth, and that's this: the corporations, the airlines, which require their pilots to take the vaccine, but according to the FAA rules, they would be required to take an approved vaccine. But yet, none of these vaccines have been approved by the FDA.
Right.
Okay.
I know.
Their EAU, their emergency authorization use, EAU, right? And she now I was not clear on that, but she brings clarity because she knows. And so I would take it that her, as a flight doctor, is at a higher level of a sensitivity and expertism on what she has to do to keep our forces in line, right? So that's a higher standard than in our airlines. But now these airline pilots have been vaccinated, some of them several times, and these corporations are putting we the people at risk, and I know that they are doing it knowingly. We have to know that they are doing it knowingly. These corporations
and my friend, let me say this also. See, I mean, you've been in the military, you know the rank structure. You know, by the time you get to be a lieutenant colonel, that's just under like a general. You know, that is basically a political position, and you know, When high up people start coming out like this all of a sudden out of the blue, it makes me very leery, because if they do that, they basically destroy any possibility they have for any, you know, future payments from the military. You know, their retirement, it will be gone and everything else. So is this all just part of the game? I don't know. You know, is it information that we can use?
No.
Yes.
No, I'm telling you, Alan, I don't think so. She's the real deal. She's keen. I mean, I've met quite a few military while I was in military and beyond, and I agree with you. Many of the officers have just become compromised. She even said it. She said, because when Greg Hunter asked her, point-blank question about who's paying attention, she said, well, some are, but they've talked to her, but behind the scenes, they are against it, but yet publicly, they have to go along with it. And she said that's cowardice. That's cowardice. She clarified it. That's cowardice. You're damn right. Now, this is a female. I mean, she's got over it. She's a female telling us. But anyway, I'll let you guys go. Thanks, man.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Mark. Yeah, thanks, Mark. Republic of Texas Radio. Yeah, we'll take the other callers as we come around the break. See you soon.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
All right. Rounding the bottom of the hour. No, we're not rounding the bottom of the hour. We got a little bit before we get there. Francis in North Carolina, welcome to the show. How are you, Francis?
Hey, folks. Hey, fellas. Couple quick points for you. Every time I hear someone talking, meanwhile, it brings up another point. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to keep on snowballing here. Start off with, as far as the fish bait goes, that goes with the supplier, not the person doing the fishing, for crying out loud. So if the regulators want to go about harassing someone, then they need to go to who is supplying, not right. The person with it, trying to catch fish, for crying out loud, unless they want to do the fishing for them, which I don't think they do.
Can I say this? Thank you for calling the show. You know, I've been hearing you for years, calling into used to call into Joyce Riley all the time. Haven't heard you much lately. Good to hear your voice again.
Well, kind of you. You mean to tell me I've become infamous now?
Well, famous, not infamous, but maybe a little bit famous. I've heard you over the years.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Oh
now,
dear.
Now how many shades? Oh, how many shades of red have I got going up my face? Anyway.
Well, you know, I think I called into Statmiller's show one time when you called Statmiller's show, and in between, like, you and Lauren, and, God, I forgot the other lady called in. I think I called in and I said,
Renee.
You know, John, I'm not really
Renee.
The Marion type. I'm pretty comfortable being a bachelor, But if I was to marry, I'd probably ask one of these ladies to marry me. You know, because y'all are just very good points all the time. Yeah, I miss hearing your voice.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that was kind
of... there you go, distracting everything, Alan.
I know.
Almost.
Being serious.
And by the way, the aspect about the films and so forth, like Wag the Dog, remind me of another one called Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy. And I find it interesting that in each film, depending on what's going on in society, let alone the, dare I say, government, there seems to be a little crystal of truth if you're very keen enough to observe and pay attention to it. Because they have to make it entertaining, but you'd be surprised at what you might miss if you're just being entertained by it. And as far as the, of course, in that film, they have one crystallizing point in the whole film that nailed the District of Criminals in D.C. It's ridiculous. As far as the Corona fiasco is concerned and the shots and all that, they've gotten paid well in hand, hand and foot, actually, financially, and with how many people's lives they've ended as a result, and the family not being able to sue for it. The thought of the pilots that do the flying of the aircraft being shut up, because if they don't, they don't. You know, when I hear this about pilots or nurses or whatever, if your job is being threatened, maybe that's that might be some way of saying, well, maybe you should go into private practice. If you're going to be harassed by an administrative team that runs a hospital, which is obviously for profit, not for the healing of the people, for crying out loud, dare I say, it's gotten absurd. Because quite frankly, I look at the whole Corona fiasco as being a issue of national security or insecurity. Because this shouldn't be happening in the U.S. at all, period. And, I mean, I've heard about the symptoms and so forth, and ironically, I chatted with one young lady that was very upset because she got tired of having a test to go through testing to go to attend school or whatever at some college. I don't really know if it was a college or university. And she decided to bow down about a little over a year ago and got one of the shot jabs. And I had to inquire which one she got after she told us about what was going on, and I felt for her. And her sense of taste is shot. Her sense of smell is shot. If she were to smell like an apple cinnamon holiday scent for autumn, it doesn't smell like it. It smells like a cake to her. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And well, so...
You know, Francis, like I said, you know, this whole vaccination thing, the only thing that I can say for certain is that my mother got the two Moderna vaccines that were given out right here in a local area, and I went over to her house and at her front door, asked her where she got the injection, and she said, well, right here, and I stuck a magnet on her arm. And I know enough physiology, Francis, that that ain't supposed to happen. That still, that freaked me out, and, you know, it's the only thing I can say for positive. I can't watch YouTube videos, so, and I'd heard about people sticking magnets on arms. I'd never seen any of it, just heard people talking about it, so I went over with a little magnet, stuck it on my mom's arm at the injection site. And that pretty much freaked me out. So I know she didn't get a placebo. She's still living and breathing, and she's 91 years old. But,
it's
not going to help her live any longer.
It's stuck on there. And he tested it on two other relatives after that.
One other relative and another lady at another place, yeah. But my mom is the one that just really freaked me out. The others were just confirmation that I wasn't hallucinating, so...
Yeah, I wonder if that's because of the graphene oxide that they use in it.
I couldn't tell you. You know, you hear that there was some type of an iron substance that was also might have been in it. Once again, I don't have the gas chromatographs and the mass spectrometers and the electron microscopes, own individual study. And I don't trust anything that comes out of, like, Johns Hopkins University or anything.
When it comes to a medical, so-called medical facility, I'm questionable. And I can hear the music, so...
You do. You want to hold over?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll hold you over for a bit. Republic of Texas Radio, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How does $49,000 relate to $7 trillion? I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. $7.1 trillion is what our federal government has authorized to spend on COVID one way or another so far. That number goes up every time Biden announces the next free test or free pill or free mask or free jab. But let's stick with $7.1 trillion for now. There were 144.3 million taxpayers last year. Let's do some math. Total COVID spending divided by the total number of taxpayers equals how much COVID has cost you. And that is $49,203. Remember, every billion the government spends costs you $7, and every trillion costs you $7,000. How long before the government demands your portion of the national debt? $243,000. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, we have Francis in North Carolina is on the line with us, and we were talking about a few different things. I mean, the vaccines is kind of like a fun one. Well, it's not fun. It's actually pretty torturous. You ever try to go to bed and you think about all the alternate media stories about what could be happening right now? Especially go over to Natural News, right? I don't know if half the stuff that comes out of Natural News is real or fake. I don't have no idea. But it is scary. And what do
it's
you
real.
Think
real. We're all going to die. Yeah. We're all going to die. Kiss your ass goodbye. We're all going to die. I can remember that coming out of Natural News.
That was early in January 2020. And he said, This is the big one, and we're all going to be dead in a few days. So, you know, there were a few other radio broadcasters that jumped down that rabbit trail, too, right? Besides,
that's crazy.
I'm talking alternate media, but I don't know. I don't know if that's important. Here, let me jump down a rabbit trail, Francis. Las Vegas, have you been paying attention at all to Lake Mead and Las Vegas and the problems that they're having?
Before anything happens, a big shout out to Renee and Lauren for that matter. So, hey, gals.
Renee, that was the other lady. Yeah.
Yep. As far as what's going out in the far west and Rockies, sometimes I wonder when when they talk about that we're going through climate change, like who is creating the climate change to start with that's creating these ecological issues out there? Now, yes, I just went down to, no, better yet, I just put on my my designer tinfoil hat. Thank you very much.
Nice.
I had one of those one time, Lauren. Steve actually came out here, and I met him at the door with a tinfoil turkey on my head. You remember that one, Steve?
Yeah. I had to inform him
like that,
MIT says it's easier to read thoughts if you have a tinfoil hat on. But anyways, go on.
Oh, that was good. That was good. No, it just makes me wonder, and I know there's the aspect, well, they're doing chemtrails and so forth, or seeding of the atmosphere and so forth. And the question is, you know, it's one thing to try to help the weather, but you know what? What happened to what Mother Nature is doing anyway? She was fine without all that garbage being sprayed or whatever, sure, have you. And then turn around and blame it on what the actions that everyday people do when you're supplying them with the equipment to do it to start with, and you're going to chew people out. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can be done to avert that issue that's being shelved. Yes, I'm going out there on a limb, as it were. There's a lot of things that can be done that various sectors of the government or agency, the alphabet soup agencies of the government, have had access to for decades.
Right.
I mean, I could go off on a tangent with that alone, but it's just gotten nuts. And quite frankly, before I forget, I'll have lime, coconut, yeah, and pineapple with my Corona. Thank you.
There you go. You know, I really haven't had the Corona flu, but I have had the Cuervo flu a couple of times, because every now and then I do have to take a few shots just to try to stop my mind from racing so I can go to sleep periodically.
There you go.
Jose. Yeah,
oh,
that's funny.
No, take
well,
care.
Thanks
that's
for
fine.
Calling
but,
in.
You know, Lauren, Francis, what you're talking about, you know, one of the main things they've been doing to us is pulling us and disconnecting us from nature itself. You know, the destruction of the family unit, you know, is another major point. You know, just the moral degradation, you know, this, well, there are more than two sexes, you know. There's not just boy and girl. There's everything in between. And one of the main things they've been doing is pulling us away from nature, from our connection with nature. And, you know, everyone living in the cities now, and they wear rubber-soled shoes, you know. Hell, every 2 weeks, I've actually got to put shoes on because I've got to go pick up my raw milk that I get delivered every 2 weeks. And every 2 weeks, I've got to put shoes on. Other than that, I pretty much run around barefoot out here.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, in case you hear some racket in the background, that's one of our chickens in the back behind me.
Sounds good to
me. I thought I heard a rooster. Yeah,
well,
I've got one of them, too. He thinks he's a badass.
There's also a rooster, but there's also some hens. So, but anyway, but yeah.
Oh, really?
As far as the sex part goes.
When a hen lays an egg, that laying cackle that they do, that's pretty unique. You can pretty much tell when a hen lays an egg. I guess if I was worth one of those things out of me every day, I'd probably be cackling, too. But.
Oh, gosh. No, as far as the sex goes and all that, my question is, okay, you might think you're this or that, but question is, what's between your legs or on your chest?
I myself have a dangling participle. I've known that my whole life.
Oh, you guys.
Go figure.
Yeah,
well, y'all have
fun.
Good hearing from you again, Francis. It's been I've kind of missed hearing your voice. You've always been a voice of sanity as far as I was concerned.
Oh, darn. I got to work harder. I thought I was the voice of insanity.
Well, you know, in an insane world, sanity
is
insane, Francis. So, you know, it's all been twisted.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. It's like, okay, that just makes me enjoy my insanity more every time I come across that. Y'all
revel
have a great weekend. Play hard.
Revel in it. Thank you for calling, Francis. Good hearing from you again.
Yep. Very interesting. We're going all over the place, but we're covering all the numbers where I wanted to go. Got a couple different places. I still want to talk a little bit about Las Vegas.
right? Because it's fascinating. But we've had Dave in Massachusetts. He's been holding for a long time. And I'll try to fit in Las Vegas and their water problems here in a minute. Dave in Massachusetts, welcome to the show. Maybe he's on mute.
Back in,
maybe not.
Touch on something you were talking about earlier in the show regarding the new IRS agents and everything there. And I'd love to get you guys' opinion. I've got a hypothesis here. Is this could be the, you know, the old 1-2. They duped a lot of people into pulling those PPP loans when the shutdown started having such a drastic effect on small business.
Yeah.
Now, people rushed in, started looking at this. The government whispered in their ear that if you use this money, you know, to pay salaries and for your business and legitimate things, that they are going to, you know, wink, wink, excuse the loan. In other words, they wouldn't have to pay it back. I think that this was the perfect scenario to get a lot of small businesses that may not be in line with their green agenda, the Agenda 21 transition that we're all about to see, to this new green economy. Wouldn't this be a wonderful mechanism for them to get all these desperate businesses, you know, roofers and auto mechanics of these horrible gas-guzzling vehicles and, you know, anything that's not green, and then all of a sudden audit them and call in these loans? They could easily clean out selectively entire unwanted segments of the economy.
Yeah, it's possible. You got a good army to do it, right?
You want me to comment real quick? In terms that you'll understand, Dave, you know, I consider that putting bait on a fish hook. And, you know, you throw it out there, you might catch, you know, a catfish, which you'll eat. You might catch a bass, which you will eat. You might catch a big perch, which you'll eat. But what happens when you catch a gar or you know, or something like that? You know, it's a hellacious, ferocious fish, and it's fun to fight and get it up to the boat, but you sure as hell don't want to pull it in your boat, for one thing, because it'll thrash around and tear you to shreds with its little ribbon teeth. You know, if nothing else, you know, you whack it on the head and you let it go. And, you know, is that, you know, are do they keep the edibles that, you know, that took all those loans? And the big ones, the sharks and the things that you really don't want in your boat, they just kind of let them go. You know, I'm kind of connected with a guy who was fairly big in banking, and when all that crap started coming out, he was semi-retired already. But he said he was on the phone like 18 hours a day doing these PPP loans because he was pretty connected in the banking institution, and he was just sitting out here doing over the phone stuff for like 18 hours a day, having people calling him up. Can we get money? Can we get money? I can't tell you who he gave money to, who his contacts were. I can just tell you he was a fairly big banker. He was real damn busy, and there was a lot of people calling up getting lots of money. You know, if free, who knows?
Hey,
you know, baiting
you
the fish hook is what I call that, Dave. Yeah.
I just want to jump in here, and that's off the hook, right? Farron just sent me a text, right? It's kind of breaking information, right? It kind of goes back to earlier in the show. This morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, some guy over in Washington, D.C., rammed his car into a barricade and lit his car on fire and started firing shots into the air. And ended up killing himself as the cops, you know, came in. And so he was running a barricade. More of these crazy lunatics that are going around today? Are the plebs going that crazy right now? What is that? Is he a lefty pleb or a righty pleb? Any comments? Because it's kind of interesting, right? You know, how far are we going right now? Any thoughts there, Dave?
Yeah, I think some people, you know, there's a lot of stress out there. People are under, you know, the normal stresses of life, And you add to it the craziness the government is levied. And I think some people are just snapping. There was a horrible incident last week where a guy in the middle of traffic pulled up, did a live stream, killed his kids, and killed himself. There's isolated cases of this that we're starting to hear about now, but I think it's just more than some minds can take, and people are snapping.
And Dave, am I not correct also? I believe I heard somewhere that people, when they're doing their tax returns now, that they're having to claim that free money that they got from the government that is now going to be taxed, and you better have the money to pay the taxes on the free stuff that we gave you. You know, this is kind of like, you know, that whole, it's like, well, there's no such thing as a free lunch. It's like, oh, no, well, we'll give you a free lunch, but, you know, you used to have to pay $10 for your breakfast, $10 for your lunch, and $20 for your dinner. And now since we're giving you a free lunch and you have a choice of a peanut butter sandwich or a bologna and cheese sandwich with a bag of chips and a juice box, you know, and we're giving you a free lunch, but now your breakfast is going to cost you $20 and your dinner will cost you $20. But we're giving you a free lunch, but instead of $30 a day you're paying to eat, you're paying $40 a day, but you're getting a free lunch. I mean,
yeah,
that's how they work this shit. Shiitake mushrooms. Sorry, I didn't finish that phrase.
It's a double shiitake on you.
There's not much that I can think of that comes from government that doesn't get converted into taxable revenue come tax time. But I'm worried that they're going to begin auditing just a sea of small businesses out there as part of this PPP. And if they do that, I know a lot of small businesses that, you know, probably have countless little violations, whether it's electrical code or whatever. Just a simple audit of the financials, the small print of all of these loan documents, one says that they can recall the loan at any time for a cause or for no cause at all. But if an audit is triggered and they didn't use the money lawfully, as they said, the slightest little infraction could result in the calling in of these loans, and that would decimate, you know, specific
and most businesses, you know, Dave, most businesses, even small businesses, they've got a CPA doing their bookwork, you know. Some of them use TurboTax and this stuff, you know, but a lot of them use CPAs, and it's like, you know, this came up, you know, when Steve, you'll remember this. We had a guy elected onto city council here, and he was going to come on, and he was going to start asking about the CAFR funds, you know, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, the ones that aren't made public, the holdings of the city or the county or whatever corporate structure it is. You know, he was going to, and he got elected as a city councilman, and as soon as he was elected, man, the newspaper came out. He's not paying his employee taxes, you know, and this and that. And the newspaper raked him over the coals. And my rancher and farmer, you know, cousins and relatives all around the area, they were like, well, don't you think we ought to pay all our taxes?
And I
said,
know.
Well, do you have a CPA that does? I'm sure you've got a CPA to make sure that you can pay the maximum amount of taxes that you can pay in a year, right? It's like, you tell your CPA, it's like, I want to pay everything I can, and don't let me pay a penny less than what I'm expected to pay. And it's like, well, no, I've got a CPA so I can get my exemptions and my supplements and my this and my that. And, you know, good people don't realize that you know, because an article comes out in the paper that says this guy is not, and I talked with Tommy, you know, this guy that was elected, and he said, I admit, he said, I might be delinquent somewhere on my taxes, but I don't owe $86,000. They just came up with a number out of the blue. But it came out in the paper, and this guy got recalled off city council, and he was gone because he was going to question where the real finances are, the CAFR funds, the secret accounts that you know, that Blackwater and State Street and all these freaking companies use, you know. And he got recalled off of our city council, and he was gone. Basically made persona non grata because of
Hey, Dave, I've got Murr hanging on the line right now, and I've missed her the last 2 weeks, and I don't want to not get her on.
All right,
I'm sorry for ranting, but damn, we're in a a lot of trouble.
Thanks for having me on. You guys have a good show.
Okay. I appreciate it. Yeah, sorry. I want to apologize to a lot of our callers when we run long. But see, here's the deal. Alan and I don't both know what's going on. Alan doesn't know I have callers waiting on the queue. And we really do enjoy talking to you. Right. So,
if I'm doing the show really by myself, folks, Sam has to whisper in my ear that we've got callers on. Other than that, he types it on Steve's computer screen, and I can't see who the callers are hanging on. I do apologize for that.
I have a hard time bumping into Alan because, you know, I'm having fun listening to him. But let's get to Murr. Let's not have me talk. Murr, you talk. You're Murr.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, hello. No apologies.
Do you have anything
necessary
to say, Murr?
No apologies necessary. Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, I got to say, Alan, you know, you're poo-pooing all of us that do all this research and share links, but yet you want us to watch these Jew movies over again with the predictive programming? You know your subconscious can't refuse it? Let me finish, please.
I love apple Jews. I love all kinds of Jews.
Can I finish, please?
Yes,
Your subconscious determines 90% of your thoughts and your actions. So why would you want to give it over to that crap? You need to have it on board with your consciousness. You have to have it congruent. So this is predictive programming. Why would you want to swallow that garbage a second time? I mean, the dog returns to his vomit.
Because, Murr, I use my own brain. That's why.
Yeah, right, okay.
I said specifically, don't look at the idiocy of the movie. It's like watching Idiocracy. Don't look at the idiocy of it. Look at what's actually being
presented. What did I just say? What did I just say, Alan? Your subconscious cannot refuse it. That's not using your brain if you don't know that. But anyway, yesterday...
Yes, Murr, I'm a dumbass. Yes, I love everything. I've gotten all
five
vaccines and all my boosters.
You're very smart.
Yes, I love
you're very smart. You're very smart, but you're a curmudgeon, all right?
No, I live in reality, my friend. I don't live in the digital nightmare that's been created. I live in reality.
Your own reality and no one else's. Your own reality and no one else's. Anyway, that's how we all are. That's fine. But yesterday, what Mark the Spark was talking about on Giuseppe and Scorpio, Giuseppe wasn't there. They had gone to get a dog. But they had this guest. His name's Io Chamathi. And he was a DHS worker. He's a black guy. And he was looking for this race war to come about. But he figured it out. His newest book is Jews Are the Problem. And don't you know Twitch took him down at the end for community problems? Community guidelines, as usual, right? But I do have, the audio is at Speak Free, and I can send that to you there, Evie. And it's very interesting, very interesting. And so there's just all this stuff that we're learning, and like you just said, we just broke. But the thing is, this COVID, this Divoke, was a spell. It was nothing. It was nothing. It was a mind trip. You're right, Alan. But what the problem is this weaponization of this poison, they're stabbing into people, and people are taking it. I know I was affected because I had to go get computer and all this stuff, and suddenly my eyes were, like, burning, and then my ears and down in my throat messed up my voice. I had a bronchial cough, and it was, like, about a week and a half. And, you know, you need rest, water, vitamin C, sunshine primarily, D3 if you, you know, sunshine, so I can save my D3 tablets. But what really kicked it was the oregano P73. Put a couple drops in the back of my throat and gone. But I'm not exposed to it all the time. People are exposed to it all the time. And now the central death cult, that's what the CDC is, wants you to go ahead and be huggy-huggy, kissy-kissy, and, you know, maskless and everything, because they want it to spread. It is spreading. Well, it's shedding and transmitting, and that is what's happening. And that very well means what these people drive, and, you know, they call it vaccidents, right? Well, they're actually...
Vaccidents, I like that.
Yeah, planned crashes. But people are just losing their minds.
Hmm. What do you think about that that news that Farron just threw over to us?
Well, I didn't look it up
car
yet.
That just slammed into... Does it matter? I mean, the reason I bring that up is because it seems to be a trend.
That's
you know,
what I'm
at least
saying.
In my mind, I'm watching these plebs are going crazy and doing things, and you know.
I would like to know if they had. I would like to know if they accepted the poisons. I bet they did.
It could be poison related, you know. It could be, and we may never know, or we may know, and they'll never talk about it, right? I'm sure they're going to talk about it today.
Let me hit on one other thing. Yeah, we'll get to it. It'll be coming out more, but CAFR, CAFR is no longer that. They rearranged the letters because it was offensive, Alan, to a black group in South America.
Okay.
See what you're missing?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for
I made
call.
Alan mad. He's
Las
not going
to.
He's
going to
pout. Alan's going to pout now. He's not going to talk to me.
All right. Well, maybe he might not even be on the line right now. I don't know. But that's okay. Thanks for the call.
All right. I'll send him a love letter. Bye bye.
Okay. I don't know if you can reach him, but you know. Who knows? Yeah, I won't even get into that, but it's an interesting point she brings up. But here, I wanted to talk about Las Vegas for a little bit. And, you know, I got like a couple minutes left in the show. I don't got any other callers on the line. Las Vegas has been one of those little points in, well, for the last couple months as we were watching Lake Mead dry up. And a lot of the water from Lake Mead goes over to Las Vegas, this little desert town that never was, and now it is, right? The big thing that we were just talking about earlier in the show was the fact that the Colorado River actually supplies a lot of the water to Lake Mead. But where is that water going, right? Was it geoengineering that stopped the water? Is it the Grand Solar Minimum that stopped the water? Is it something else diabolical? We can go to Natural News and they'll talk about, underground tunnels everywhere. Are they sucking the water out of the Colorado River and shipping it somewhere else, perhaps? We'll never know. Maybe we'll know. I don't know. But the problem of Las Vegas right now is they have 40 days of water left for Las Vegas, and they've gotten into the water Nazi type thing. And I know we say the word Nazi and it's just like silly or whatever, but they are sitting there going around bonking on people for wasting water, or I don't know what the hell else they're doing, but they're doing something. Now the other water that they get is local ground supply, and that local ground supply is well contaminated. Right. So the streams and rivers were contaminated by a fire that was started by the United States government to try to control a burn and make everything safe. And that's great. Right. But one would come back to, you know, the Maurer wildlife problem where the ranchers tried to do that and they just burned a couple plants and they got bonked.
And
right?
I'm sorry, Steve, I had to pull the rock away from my head and lay it down because I refuse to be called basically a dumbass on my own show. I do have a brain, people. I understand pretty freaking well what's going on. And Murr, I generally like your calls. We can disagree, but I refuse to be called a dumbass. And I will say, take care, folks. The show's ending, I know. Steve, go on.
No, I'm done, too. Hey, love you all. I guess have a good day. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.